This one's mine, okay? Don't let me grab the wrong one. I have germ paranoias. All right. Well, thank you for letting me be here. It's such a blessing, and I'm so sorry I didn't get to hear my husband yesterday, but some of the men are like, oh no, Mrs. Fisher, you wouldn't have wanted to hear it. In other words, he probably misbehaved in some way. So, and if anyone's late, just send them on up. There are seats up here. There's a good whole row and a few seats. So, okay, well, let's pray and I'll get started, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness, your love, your just care for us, that you would provide a conference where we could come and hear and make friendships and just be renewed in our faith. And thank you for that, Lord, in your precious name. And please help me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I'm going to start off with a story before I get into the lesson, okay? I hope you don't mind. Years ago, this doesn't have a ledge. Okay, wait one sec. Years ago, our church was going through, you know, the growth spurt with all the other churches that were going through the growth spurt. And we used to run a lot of buses to go pick up kids. And then we would have like big days. And we would have, like, we would have to go back to those bus routes multiple times. And we needed more bus drivers. And so me being the girl that was brought up with three boys, you know, kind of tomboy that I was, I said to my husband, well, I'll get my bus license. If these guys won't step it up and get their license, I'll get my bus license. And so he thought that would be a good idea. He goes, yeah, I could use that. He said, I'll just, you know, get on those guys. My wife is going to get her bus license. So I got all ready and I went to get my, I did all the training for it. I went to get my bus license that day. And the first thing that happened wrong was I parked the bus right by the curb. And someone parked a BMW right in front of me. Now, this is a manual bus, and it was on a slight hill. And I had to figure out how to back up and go forward and, you know, with a clutch and not hit that BMW. That was my first scary thing that happened. So I made it through that, and this real sweet little lady, she was scary, came out in her little white coat with her notebook, you know, and she's marking things as I'm doing things, and she's like, all right, now take me up on the hood and show me. I had to show her, you know, where the oil, you know, all these different things we had to show her. Well, to get up on the hood, you had to climb up a great big step, about as high as a chair. I don't even think I could do it nowadays. But you had to climb up there, and we opened the hood, and she got up with me next to me, and I showed her all the different things. We closed the hood, and she said, all right, let's get going. Yes, ma'am. So we got in, and we're going, doing all the street stuff, no problem. I'm feeling confidence of the Lord, right? I'm feeling brave and courageous and confident. And all of a sudden she says, oh, we're going to get on the freeway. And I thought, oh, okay, I drive the freeway, no big deal. I mean, my dad taught me to drive the RV when I was a young girl, you know, not young, like 16, 17, 18. So I wasn't afraid about that. Well, we're going up the on-ramp. So our on-ramp goes kind of in a circle to get on, and then you're up on the freeway, right? We're going up that ramp. And all of a sudden, the hood of the bus flies up in front of my face. And I'm talking, you cannot see around it on the sides. It's as big as the front window. And, you know, my heart just stops. And I'm like, oh, what do I do? You know, thinking to myself, what do I do? And she just says, just stop the bus. And I'm thinking, I can't pull off to the side. What if someone hits us from the back? I just thought, you know what, Patty, just do what she says. So I stopped the bus right there in the middle of the on-ramp. I get out to go try to close it. I can't close it. She gets out, and she's up on the hood with me, and my legs are shaking like this. Like, I'm scared to death. And I try 2.5 times, and on the third time she says to me, if you can't get it down, we're calling a tow truck. I'm thinking, a tow truck? Our church can't afford a tow truck. You know how that is, right? Our independent Baptist churches are poor. They don't want to hear that their wife messed up and needs a tow truck. And so finally, the Lord just, I don't know, he just gave me strength or whatever, and I got it closed. And so I shut it, and we got on the freeway. We finished the test. And I just figured, like, I chit-chatted with her after that. I just thought, well, I already flunked the test. I might as well make a friend out of this lady, right? I just chit-chatted with her, you know, told her my testimony just a little bit, you know. And we get all done, and I just figured, well, she's going to tell me I flunked. She hands me the paper, and it says pass. I said, you passed me? And she goes, honey, I've never seen someone so calm in an emergency. I thought, praise the Lord, I'm calm. But it was the Lord, and it was just one of those be still and know moments that God just wanted to get me through that. And it was a big blessing to our church because my husband would use that all the time. Well, my wife will drive if you guys won't get your license and drive a bus. I'll put my wife out there on a bus route, you know. And I would only drive like big days or something like that, not very often. But let's go over to Deuteronomy 33. Let's start there. I want to talk today about be still and know. Deuteronomy 33, and we're going to look at verse 27. All right, it says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. You know, I just think of our Heavenly Father and how his arms have just surrounded us. As we've gone through many different things, you know, from my salvation, you know, as a young lady, and I'm sure probably everyone in here has heard my testimony, but I was a single mom when I got saved with a 2-year-old. And then praying for a good husband and God providing one for me. And, you know, right away after we got married, we head to the mission field. We went to American Samoa. We never heard of deputation. We didn't know what that was. We just thought we're just supposed to go live in American Samoa and minister to the Samoan people, which were lovely people. And I ended up with complications and ended up in the hospital with major surgery. And 3 weeks later, I was sent by aircraft over to Tripler Army Hospital in Hawaii, and another 5 weeks recovering there. And God used all of that to bring us back to San Diego. And I remember when we got back to San Diego and my husband, he had gone back to the mission field to help out, and I was ready to have a baby. And I remember him saying to me, as God shut the door on us going back, he took away his military retirement at the time, and we had no money to go back to American Samoa. And I just remember God saying to me, or my husband saying to me, God put me on a shelf. God's probably not going to use us. Patty, whatever we did, it must have been the unpardonable sin. You know, you think about it, we were both only a year and a half old in the Lord. We were brand new Christians, but all we wanted to do was serve God. And so here we are living at my mother's. He's working in a bakery when he finally got a job, working in a bakery, and he's like, we'll just go to this small church. And from that small church, we just both decided, okay, well, let's just go back to San Diego. That's where I got saved. That's where we met each other. That's where we got married. Let's just go back down there, put our daughter in school. And he started up, once we got there, got settled in, he started up a military ministry. And you know, we had some major things happen and some major things go wrong. One of the things that I thought went wrong, but I guess the Lord knew didn't go wrong, was him saying to me 2.5 years after we got there, our pastor has to resign. And guess who they want to be the pastor? I was like, I don't know. Who is it? And he goes, me. And I'm like, no way. And he's like, why not? I said, I don't know how to be a pastor's wife. I never went to Bible college. You know what? That was a be still and know moment. And we said to each other, he goes, I don't know. I said, I don't know how to be a pastor's wife. He goes, Patty, I don't know how to be a pastor. And we both said, one day at a time, let's just trust God. And as soon as God has someone better, we will gladly step aside. Well, 38 years later, God had someone better, and we gladly stepped aside. But you know, that be still and know doesn't mean I give up and quit. I sit down and I take my little party and have my own little pity party. It doesn't mean that. When we go through tragedies or hard times, each of us, we're each going to go through that individually. And your trial that you're going through won't be exactly like someone else's trial. It will be you and the Lord. It might be you and your family. It might be you and someone you love. But it's going to be you and the Lord. And you're going to have to decide, am I going to trust God? Or am I going to trust all the worldly advice and all the people that say just quit and all of that? You're going to have to decide. And I know for me, every time I choose God, I choose correctly, and he makes up for the lack of what I can't do. He makes up for it. I was thinking about some few different examples. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and over in Matthew, let's turn over there, Matthew chapter 1. It says, now the birth of Jesus, verse 18. Okay, you're supposed to know that. No, just kidding. Okay, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Like, we all know what happened with Jesus and Mary, that eventually she was able to give birth to the child. And we all see, like, we look back and say, oh, it all went well. But can you imagine the reproach of her at the beginning and the fear of Joseph that how is she expecting when we're not married yet? We haven't been together. Just think about that fear and reproach. But you know what? She did it as unto the Lord. She didn't do it, you know, thinking about what people would think or any of that. She was a lady that would just say, God, I trust you. Even when I don't understand, I trust you. Another person I was thinking about was Leah. I love the story of Jacob and Leah and Rachel. And let's turn over there, Genesis 29. The thing I love about Leah, she was the older sister. No. Yes. She was the older sister. And Rachel, her sister, was beautiful, right? And Jacob fell in love with Rachel. She was beautiful, but they said Leah was tender-eyed. I don't know what that means, but I know she wasn't beautiful, right? And so In Genesis 29, verse 16, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And verse 20, and Jacob served those 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him and went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah his maid for a handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is it that thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve thee with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? So right from the very, very beginning of marriage for Leah, she was not desired. She was not wanted. She was possibly even hated, because Jacob was tricked into marrying her. And then we watch as Leah has her children, and I just love how she still loves the Lord. You can tell by the way that she names her children. In verse 32, it says, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben, and for she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. How sweet is that? I just think that's so sweet. And then verse 33, then, and she conceived again and bare a son, and because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. You know what I love? That has to be at least 6 years, usually every other year, right? We have kids? No, just kidding. Not everyone, but for a lot of ladies, it's every other year. So that's at least 6 years, plus however long it took for the first. And still she has hope. You know what? Her hope is in God. I just love this. This time will my husband be joined to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. And, you know, she goes on. And then verse 13 of the next chapter. For Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. You know, she just keeps giving God joy back. And verse 18 of chapter 30. And Leah said, God has given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. She calls his name Issachar. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the 6th son. And God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me. You know, when I think about be still and know that I'm God, sometimes ladies really struggle with their husbands. And sometimes it's hard for us ladies, because I used to say to my husband, well, it's easy for you. You get to follow a perfect God, but I have to follow a man who's not perfect. And sometimes I have to just trust God that you're walking and doing what God wants you to do. Like, yes, I'll go with you on this journey, but I want to know you're really following the Lord, you know? And sometimes some of the things they say to us are pretty scary. Like, I remember we were living in this nice, big, huge house, and everything was going perfectly well. And then he became pastor, and he says, okay, well, we need to move out of that house, because that was for the military ministry, and we need to get our own house. And I was like, great. Okay, well, we're in a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. So, and we have 3 kids, I think, at that time. And so I'm thinking, well, we need a bigger house than a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. Yeah, well, he takes me to a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, shows it to me in the dark with a flashlight, and says, what do you think? I said, I think it'll work for a little while. And then thinking like we're going to rent this until we can buy something, right? And then he stops on the way in the car, back in the old days, phone booth, calls the lady on the phone booth and says, we'll buy it. I'm like, what? He bought a two-bedroom, one-bath house with three kids, and we're buying it? Like, why would we do that? Doug Fisher, what do you think? And he goes, this is where God led us. Okay, temporarily? Oh, I'm sure it'll be temporary. Yeah, 9.5 years later. God put us in a bigger house at 9.5 years later. But be still and know, God still has plans. Sometimes we don't understand. I think about Esther and how she went before the king. And in her heart and her mind, she said, if I perish, I perish. Remember, she could have been put to death because she was also one of the Jews that they had put out a decree to kill. And she said, for such a time as this. And ladies, I think about us raising our children nowadays, and you see the church children all running around. You know, for such a time as this, God has a plan for each of them, for each of us. And God doesn't make mistakes. I think of that scripture, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we have to trust God. God has a bigger plan than we ever will understand. And the Holy Spirit will lead you if you trust him and obey his leading. He wants to bring peace that passes understanding, even in a crisis situation. When my husband, first and only, when he first had the open heart surgery, he did really good. And then 3 weeks later had a major stroke. And I remember sitting out there. First of all, it was COVID time. They wouldn't let me get in the ambulance with him. They said, no, ma'am, you'll have to drive yourself to the hospital. And so I had to. Then when I got to the hospital, they wouldn't let me in. That was, to me, the most unsettling thing, because all along through his open heart surgery, I was able to be with him every single day. Many nights I would spend the night there, and some nights I would go home to sleep, but most of the time I could be there with him all the time. But I just remember sitting outside the hospital and praying and just saying, Lord, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I knew he had had a stroke. When I called the ambulance, I said, he's not talking to me. He can't talk. And she kept saying, tell him to say it's a sunny day in San Diego. I said, ma'am, he cannot say anything but just a moment, just a moment, just a moment. That's all he could say. And I said, please send someone. I think he's having a stroke. Okay, okay. You sure you can't get him to say? No, I can't get him to say it's a sunny day in San Diego. Anyway, I'm sitting outside the hospital. They took him by ambulance. It had to have been 45 minutes to an hour. It felt like 3 days out there. They wouldn't even let me into the hospital. And then finally someone came out and said, ma'am, not only has your husband suffered a major stroke, but he passed away on the table. I said, you mean you had to revive him? You didn't hurt his chest, did you? Because I'm thinking, you know, chest compressions. He just had open heart surgery. That's all raw. And he was like, ma'am, we need to know something. And I'm like, what do you need to know? He says, we need to know. He's going to have major complications. Do you want us to try and keep him alive? It was like the Lord's arms just wrapped around me. And I said, do anything you can to keep my husband alive at all costs. I don't care what he is. I will take care of him. Keep him alive. Yes. Why are you asking me this? Like, yes, of course. But, you know, not everyone would know what to do at that time. And if I wouldn't have had the answer right away from the Lord, what if I would have been thinking about it? And well, let's see, he wasn't very nice to me back in. No, just kidding. But you know what I'm saying? Like, you want God to have those answers for you right away. And one time when our daughter had to go through surgery, my husband said to me, she was 8 months old and he was ready to become the pastor. And he said to me, Patty, I need to know, is there anything not right between you and God that she has to go through this? He goes, and I've asked myself that. And I said, Doug, not that I can think of. And we both got down and prayed for her because she had a what's called an intersusception where the bowel is telescoped inside. And she had a major surgery on her tummy. And, you know, I thought she was going to pass away because they kept telling me, oh, she just has the flu. Just take her home. And that night, I was crying out to God, God, she's going to die if you don't do something. It's been 3 days. And the doctor called. He said, I've been thinking about your daughter all day. I said, praise God, because I brought her to the doctor in the hospital. And no one's doing anything. He goes, bring her in right away. And they did a x-ray, you know, where they put the barium in and anyway found out that's what she needed. But ladies, you don't want to have to go through a time when you're not right with God and one of your family members is between life and death. And you're wondering, do I have everything right with the Lord? You don't want to get to that point. You want to be able to trust God and know that you've tried to live the way God would want you to live. In Isaiah 40:28, it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching in his understanding. I thought that was so interesting. There's no searching in his understanding. We search for understanding. We search to know why. But God doesn't. He knows the beginning from the end. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. I think of you young ladies, you new moms who spend, you know, time with your new little babies and raising them for the Lord and putting all this good stuff into them. And then all of a sudden, they're 18, 19, 20, making decisions on their own, wanting to buy motorcycles. No. I always told my boys, you can't have a motorcycle till you move out of the house, and then you may buy a motorcycle. That way I won't worry about you every single day that you will come home. But, you know, and then they make decisions, and sometimes they make wrong choices, and we don't have that control like we did before. And they're maturing into their own person, and they have to have a relationship with God. And I just think, like, that's such a hard time of life. They say when your children are young, you chase them around and you're after them on, you know, your feet. But then when you get older, you're after them on your knees, praying for them as they make those decisions and learn to follow the Lord on their own. But we can never give up praying for our children. We can never give up praying for our husbands, even fasting, crying out to God and realizing that they're God's child and he loves them even more than we do. That's hard to imagine, that anyone loves my kids more than me, but the Lord does. And just like the prodigal son's father, he stands with open arms when his son was yet a great way off. You know what that meant? He was looking for his son to return. And mothers, if you have a child that's away from the Lord, be still and know that God is there for you. And he hears your prayers. And it might not happen overnight. It could be years. And God knows that. And you look and wait and you'll rejoice when they come back home. So many things can bring us to our knees. And actually, that's a good place to be, ladies. If everything was upbeat and vacation every single day, we wouldn't appreciate the things of God. Those tragedies, those hard things, those are building our faith and helping us to grow. Pain, sickness, miscarriages, sufferings, heartaches, lack of energy, all those girly things that we face, times of life when we just don't feel ourselves and feel like we'd rather kill someone than talk to them. You know, want to pull out her hair, or, you know, I still remember my friend at the piano, and every time we'd bow our heads to pray, she'd be, you know, all those different times of life. You know, we need the Lord's help. And some of us, our crisis might not be us. It might be our husband. It might be that strong man that used to do so much, and now he can't. And now we're both relying on the Lord to get us through. I know preachers personally with panic attacks or severe depression or different illnesses that really, really are difficult for them just to go into the pulpit each week. And you know, as a congregation, sometimes we just take advantage of our preacher. We just think, he should be studied up and ready to go. And sometimes it's very difficult for them. You know, I watched my husband with different times of struggles, and other preachers too. So some of us, our husband can no longer lead. Some of you ladies are in that time of life, or the Lord's already taken him home. And we have to be reliant on the Lord. We have to trust that God has our today and our tomorrow ready for us. And that's really important, especially like for me, when my husband goes through a tough time, I just honestly want to get in bed and eat chocolate. Like, that's all I want. Like, give me some candy and let me just get under the covers and cry and be a big baby for a couple days. But you know, when you have children or you have obligations, you just can't do that. And so we have to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, okay, I had my pity party. I had my cry time. Help me to get back on track. Help me, Lord. And God knows our weaknesses. That's the thing about the Lord. He has so much compassion for us. Could be your health. Could be loss of a job. But be still and know that God will get you through. Okay, I'm almost finished. What time am I supposed to be finished? How much longer do I have? She's like, all day. Go. No. 10 minutes? Okay. All right. 1 Peter 5. Last scripture I'll take you to. Well, maybe. 1 Peter 5. Come on, you got a couple more. My husband used to say, could you put another quarter in the meter? I don't know if you have quarters here, but a little bit of change in the meter, right? It'll last a little longer. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That means resist the devil, resist those temptations, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know, isn't God so good? He says, those trials after you have suffered for a while. Some trials do go on for a lifetime, but many are temporary. And God's using them to grow us, to mature us. And, you know, it's hard for us not to want to ask the Lord, like, why is this happening? Why is this going on? And often God just doesn't give an answer. Sometimes you can look back years ago and now I know why this or that happened. But sometimes we may never know till heaven. And isn't God good that he knows what we need to know and what we don't need to know? I loved, was that Brother Shimish this morning that said, if he would tell you too far in advance, you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't go there. I would have said, I'm not being a pastor's wife. I'm not. I'm not going through all these heartaches with you, Doug Fisher. Or I'm not. No. One step at a time, and God will lead us. And be still and know that he is God, and he knows better than we do. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would watch over us, Father. Draw us to yourself. Help each lady here to know how much you love and care for her. And the trials that she's going through, the heartaches that she's going through, Lord, you already know about them, but help her to come to you with prayers about those things she's facing. Lord, I just love how personal you can be and how right when we need you, you're there for us. Lord, help us to be trusting in you the way we should. In your precious name, amen. All right, ladies, thank you for being so attentive. Really appreciate it.